Our sermon text this morning is Philippians 4, verse 19, and I've entitled it, Our God Provides for all of Our Needs. What an amazing promise that is. That's astounding. God promises to provide for all of our needs, not one, not two, but all of our needs. But this is only one promise that's in the Bible. Our God gives us many, many other promises. He promises to work out all things together for our good. He promises to be our shepherd. He promises to conform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He promises to send His Son back when all things will be made new. Promises just go on and on. You know, people come to me every so often and they'll say, you know what, I'm kind of discouraged. And so sometimes I will say, well, why don't you get the Bible out over the next week and write down all the promises that you find in the Bible? And invariably when I see them the next week, they've change their attitude, because when you begin to count the promises in the Bible, first of all, you open up the Bible. And your attention goes on God and His promises and not on yourself and your own strength. So you're tasting God's grace. And so what will happen is that as you're looking into the Bible, as you're thinking about God and His promises, then that becomes a great antidote to the discouragement that you're experiencing. And I've seen this over and over and over. So if that's true of you right now, if you're feeling discouraged, I encourage you to take this week and start opening the Bible and just finding all these amazing promises that are in there. And so in verse 19, God promises to provide for all of our needs. Well, that begs the question, what are your needs this morning? What do you think your needs are? What's the number one need that comes to mind as I ask that question? What is it that consumes you this morning more than anything else? Or maybe the two things that consume you. And then we need to think about, well, is that the same thing that God says is your greatest need? Well, the truth is we really don't know. But usually it's not. God's got much greater and deeper things that He wants to accomplish in you that He sees to be your needs rather than the ones that you're thinking. And so God becomes the fountainhead and the source of all the provisions that you need. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Most of us know that. That's a compound Hebrew word. It means God our provider. So He has already given you so much, even before you became a Christian. He's given you your sex. He's given you your intellect. He's given you your parents. He's given you your gifts, what you're good at. So even before you became a Christian, God was busy pouring out and providing for you. And we see Him as our provider. As the Israelites are going through the desert for 40 years, and what does He provide for them? He provides manna every day for 40 years, nonstop, except, of course, on the Sabbath. But for 40 years, He kept teaching the Israelites, I am your provider. You can depend on Me. You can rely on Me. I will make sure, even in the midst of a desert where you can't even grow crops, you can't make clothes, that I will make sure that your clothes don't wear out and that you'll have manna every single day. He is Jehovah Jireh. And so, even by His name, He is our provider. He can't go against Himself. That's who He is. He has promised to be our provider. And of course, our greatest need is our salvation. That's the number one need that we all have. And of course, he's already provided for that as he sent his son. He provided Jesus to come and become a man, walk the earth, go to the cross as a perfect human being, and then withstand the cross and the punishment where God turned his back on Jesus as he punished him for our sins. And so he became our Savior, and our salvation took place. And now we have eternal life and the forgiveness of all our sins because God provided Jesus. Let that sink in. Kind of marinate your heart in that for a few seconds. Jesus was the most precious thing that God had. There's nothing that exceeded the preciousness and the value of Jesus Christ. So even when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he stayed. He held back Isaac's hand, Abraham's hand, excuse me, so that he didn't have to sacrifice his son, but he did not stay his own hand when he sacrificed his own son, Jesus. He is our provider. So if he's willing to do that, then there's nothing that won't stop him from doing everything else to provide for all of our needs. These are amazing and great things that he has done for us. But we have a big problem. We have a big problem. You see, God will always fulfill his promises. Always. It's impossible for him not to provide for us. But we all struggle with believing that he'll provide. All of us. We all struggle. For example, when I was at Westminster Seminary, I was there for 3 years. And the first month I was wondering how God was going to provide for us because we were living below the poverty line. And so God provided for us that first month. But then the second month rolled around and I was still struggling with believing that he was going to provide for us again. And he provided for us again, and usually in different ways. We didn't win the lottery, but that's where God wanted us. And so I struggled with believing that God would provide for 35 straight months. Then you'd think I'd have gotten it by then, wouldn't you? In the beginning of the 36th month, I was still struggling with believing. I would talk to Diane about it. And he provided for the 36th month. And then he provided a job as a pastor for me. So, basically, the flesh is weak. I was going through seminary to go out and tell other people about God and how he's our provider, like this morning. And yet I was struggling with that myself. So our God is a God of grace. He knows our doubts. The disciples often would say, increase our faith, when they see mighty things that Jesus would do. You know, our minds can know the scriptures, or we can recite the fact that he's Jehovah Jireh. We can know all these things. But it takes time, and it takes experience in exercising our faith to let it sink in and to experience that we do believe more and more over time as God is using many of the circumstances in our lives to build our faith. God is our provider. And he provides for all our needs. So with that in mind, let me read Philippians 4:19. You know, there's a reason why Paul says what he says. He says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Why does he have to say that? Because we struggle with believing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for providing for us regardless of the weakness in our own faith, that you're an amazing God of grace and that we can trust you We have already seen earlier how you are our shepherd and you will take care of us. And you're sending Jesus back at just the right time. And we thank you for that. We'll experience all the treasures of heaven. And we ask now that you'd be with us as we look into this passage just a little more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one verse. And so we're going to ask four different questions of this verse. The first question is, what are our needs? What are your needs? You see, in this particular passage, Paul is writing to Christians. So he's not really addressing salvation, he's addressing other needs in this passage. And so what are your other needs this morning? And how are you trying to meet them? You know, a lot of times when you think about your needs, you think about the first thing that comes to mind, the thing you've been thinking about all week. And very often, what you're thinking about is how to escape a negative circumstance or what you perceive to be a negative circumstance. It can be anything. But it's important to you because you're suffering, at least you think you're suffering, in a circumstance that's not what something that you want to go through. And so we have to realize that God is most interested in forming Christ-likeness in us. We're to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. All those nine attributes we find in Galatians 5, but those aren't all of them. But basically we're to grow in the attributes of what Christ has and to be like him. And so that's what he's most interested in. But that's usually not where we are focused. We're much more focused on the things of this world. Getting along with certain people. Increasing our income in some way, shape, or form. In order that we can gain the things of this world. So we're usually focused on getting out of what we perceive to be the negative circumstances in which we find ourselves. So this is why Paul wrote what he wrote. Our God provides for all our needs. And so as Paul's living, where he's living as he's writing this, he's in jail, right? Remember that. But he doesn't talk about getting out of jail. That's not where his greatest need is. He's not worried about getting out of prison. He's more interested in how he can reach these other people with the gospel. Reach the Praetorian Guard that he's chained to. These guys that are in the presence of the emperor. So this is where Paul is trying to help us to see. There are things and needs that we have, but they're not the things that usually come first to mind for us. So when I was struggling there with seminary in terms of how I could feed my family, my biggest need was not escaping those circumstances. But that's what I worked at really hard. That's what I prayed for a lot. God was trying to teach me how to learn how to depend on him. And so he left me in that place for that 3 years because he was more interested in my character becoming more like Christ's. Christ didn't have a bank account. He didn't have a house. Didn't even have a pillow for his head. Never tried to gain the things of this world. But he depended on his Father all the time. And so God provided different people at different times. Many of the women that were walking around with him were those that were helping him and providing and getting the food and preparing food and things like that. Some of the other men. So I needed to have 3 years like that. God was trying to change my heart so that I would depend on him and live for him, even in the midst of the fact that I'd have to not be able to see where that money was coming that month, and yet every month in, he provided. and in a variety of different ways. And that's how it usually works. So I saw God's faithfulness for 3 years. As I look back, I treasure those years now. It was hard. I'm not saying it was easy. But now I see more of the purpose. And that very often is the way things work. As we learn from hindsight, as we see what God was trying to accomplish in us when we look back, we don't always see it all at the time. But we're learning how to depend on Him for the things that are necessary and good. And so we need to distinguish the differences between what our needs are and what our wants are and not get confused by those. I'm sure most of you have heard this, or at least part of this type of thing before. We may want a lot of things. You know, the bigger houses, how much money the next door neighbor has, you know, the cars, all these things are of this world. But those are really wishes. Those aren't needs. Needs are the basic necessities of life. Jesus needed the basic necessities of life. He needed to eat. He needed water. And so do we. And so God promises to provide for these needs. And this is what we saw earlier as we looked at Psalm 23, as we sang Psalm 23 this morning. I shall not want. But what he means there is I shall not need. I shall not have to work in terms of accomplish these things as my primary goal. God is going to provide these things. And so God promises to be our shepherd, and he'll provide the green pastures, the food, and the quiet waters, the water, and righteousness. Says he's going to provide the righteousness that we need. And so he also promises that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. The point is that we are to let God be in charge. If we'll understand his word and trust him in the places in which we're going to go, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be there and protect us. And then, of course, we know how it's all going to end when Christ comes back. We're going to be in heaven with him forever. And there, all of our needs will always be met for eternity. What amazing God we have. Do you believe that this morning? Or are you doubting? Are you going after the things of this world? Are you going after knowing God and trusting him? And that leads us to our second question. Who does Paul say will supply all of our needs? And he says, it's my God. My God. My God will supply our every need. See, this is a personal God. This is a God that Paul knows. A God that Paul talks to. A God that Paul is depending upon. And for many, many years, he's had to learn that. He's experienced all kinds of shipwrecks and beatings and all kinds of things. But he's kept on doing what God wants him to do. Serving God. Meeting the needs of others. And so Paul said, it's my God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Moses and David, who would supply their every need. For example, when Paul had been in Athens walking around earlier in his life, he'd seen a city that was full of idols. As he walked around Athens and the hills and all of Athens, then he saw all these different idols are all over the place, handmade things, stone, wood, whatever. These people had made these idols. And then he came across an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. And later, when he spoke to the learned men of Athens, He said this, "Men of Athens, what you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." So Paul was telling them, I know this God. I want you to know this God. He's the one who gives life and breath and everything. My God created the stars and the seas and all that's in them. My God, who did not spare the life of his own son, how shall he not also give us all things that we need? Paul was speaking out of his own life. He says, behold the splendor of God, the maker of heaven and earth. This is my God who I know, knows me. Behold his inexhaustible heavenly treasures, where the streets of heaven are paved with gold. Isn't that amazing? There's no limit to his treasures. And we are all in Christ who know Christ. And so Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we share then, because we're in Christ, all that he has already inherited. Paul says his God is Jehovah Jireh, his provider. And that's what God is saying to us this morning. He says, I know you. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're desiring. I know what your fears are. I know you through and through, and I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide all the things that you need, because you are precious to me. My son has died so that you might have life. You are precious to me, and I love you. This leads us to our third question. How will God supply all of our needs? Well, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, prophet Elisha, asked a starving widow, she and her son were starving to death, to gather many empty pots. So they kind of thought that was kind of odd, but they did. They went out and gathered all these pots, filled the house with empty pots. And so God then began to fill those pots with oil, filled up until they're overflowing. And then she would go out and sell the oil and get the food and everything else that she needed. This is a picture of what God does as our provider. And he wants us then to offer ourselves up as empty pots. And he will begin filling us and filling us and filling us, providing for us and providing for us, until he glorifies himself by the things that are overflowing in us. He'll provide us with love and comfort, food, water, clothing. The more needs we have, the more blessings we receive. God will not leave things short. He doesn't stop filling us until it's overflowing. And we see an example of this, of course, in the scriptures, where there's multiple times where Jesus takes the people that are following him out into a semi-desert area, and he prays that manna would show up, bread would show up. And so he feeds 5,000 one time, he feeds 4,000 another. In each case, the disciples then go around and pick up all the crumbs, and there's baskets full of bread left over. And so that's the heart that God has for us. That's the kind of provision that he provides for us, pressed down and overflowing. Do you believe that? That's who he is. That's his character. So he provides for all of us, all of our needs, and he's all sufficient. And Paul says that God will provide according to his riches. And his riches are never ending. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the word says. There's no end to what he has and what he can provide. He's going to continue to provide his riches to us throughout eternity. It's never going to end. He delights in continually providing for his children, providing for every need until it doesn't exist anymore. As Psalm 1 says, we are like trees planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. God plants us as small seedlings. That's how it starts, right? And then he brings these waters, these streams of waters. So what is it about a seedling? It can't move, right? It's planted in one place. And it says that he will bring streams of water to where that seedling is. So the seedling is being dependent on God for bringing that water. And then it begins to grow and to mature as the Lord provides the water and the nutrients that it needs. And so we don't have to search for the streams. We have to stay still and see God provide and bring these things to us. So often we're so busy, we're tearing the seedlings up to see how it's growing. Right? He says, no, that's not how it's supposed to work. I'm going to continue to provide. And God is never stingy, but gives liberally and abundantly according to his riches. And it brings God glory as he does that, as he abundantly pours out his endless riches upon us. And that brings us to our last question. By what means does God fill all of our needs? Paul says that he fills all of our needs in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. First, God gave us Christ Jesus, who has inherited all things in heaven and earth. And because we're in Christ Jesus, then we share all that Christ shares in, all that Christ has and has authority over. For example, he says, when you're weak, then you're strong, because we try to do things in our strength. And God says, no, do them in my strength. So often we don't even turn to the Lord and pray when we have these needs. We just try to work harder, take two jobs or whatever. And he says, no, my strength is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is already preparing our heavenly home right now. We can't see it, but he's doing that. Secondly, all things come to you by grace because Christ Jesus has earned them for you. It's not anything you have to earn. Jesus has done that. And because all of our eternal needs are provided by Jesus, we are to provide for the needs of those around us. For those that helped me during seminary, lots and lots of people helped in a variety of different ways. It was amazing. It was hard to receive, first of all. You know, I'd owned my own business. I was a pretty self-sufficient guy. And now I had to be on the receiving end. But that was a gift as well. Because now I became a person who was more dependent on the rest of the body of Christ. I saw my needs being met through others as well as through God. So we're to provide for the needs for each other. That's what Josh was praying about this morning. His church does a pretty good job of a lot of that. And Paul expands on the meaning of Philippians 4:19 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 12, which says, and God is able, listen to this, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So as we have confidence that all of our needs are being met in Christ, then we should be ready with an open hand, sharing those things which he's put under our stewardship that we don't own. Everything belongs to Jesus. So we're quickly willing to give and help with the things that we have. We do it generously and cheerfully, and we see the needs of others being met. We're a church. We're not just individuals. And as we see these things abundantly being shared amongst each other, then God gets the glory because we're giving credit to him for these things, which he has given us. We came into this world with nothing. Everything that we have is being provided by him. And we'll leave this world with nothing in terms of earthly treasures. And so we are to give to one another the way that God gives to us. We're to be like him and to acknowledge all good gifts come from his hand. And as we experience God's provision in our life circumstances, he deepens and increases our faith in him. And isn't that where we all struggle? May the Lord bless the reading of his word and this sermon. May you take into your hearts that which God is placing there now. Our God, Jehovah Jireh, provides all of our needs. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these amazing truths that we see here. We thank you for the great love that you have for us and your desires to bless us. We thank you, Lord, that you provide for all of our needs, both now and forever. And we glory in you for that. We ask now that you would help us with our faith, that you would deepen it and increase it. May we use the faith we have with which we can move mountains, but also increase it, Lord, as we see our need, as we grow and mature in the things that you ask us to do for you. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.